I'm watching. Yeah, this is a timeout chair. And somebody's going to end up here. And I did leave it up there on purpose today because, as you can see, I've entitled my message, "Whose Seat Is This?" I'll get to that here in just a little bit. Let me get right into the message today. I've put this chair up here to just sort of symbolically, or I guess to help us all in our minds to begin to think, whose seat is this? And what do I mean by that? I mean, who is it that you would like to have sitting here? Now, you don't mean on the platform, but imagine that, you know, now we've got quite a few empty chairs over here. There's not a whole lot of empty chairs right here. Boy, you all did an excellent job. I think everybody should give this crowd right here a hand. I think you all, my goodness, every single chair is filled, and you just did a fantastic job. Now, you all work on that, okay? But, you know, who would you like to have seated here? Who is it in your life that, as I say, you know, who would you like to have in church? Sorry. All right, get off of Facebook, don't you dare. Yeah, some of you, you're posting that right now. Who is it that your heart desires to have in church with you? I know many of you, you have folks that when I say that, immediately your minds go maybe to, you know, maybe some of you adults, it's your adult age child. You know, there's some of you, you would love to have your children in church with you. You perhaps don't even understand, why don't they want to come to church with me? Why don't they want to be in church? Maybe you raised them, reared them to go to church, but somehow they've just sort of gotten away from that. It's not become something that they want to do. And you watch their lives, and they're busy and probably even successful, and sometimes success is brings busyness and keeps people from God being a priority in their lives. Sometimes it, and when I say go be in church with you, I don't just mean be in our church with you. I mean you would just like to see them have God as a priority in their lives. Amen. You'd like to see them in church somewhere. You'd like to see them want to be in church. You'd like to see them want to have a walk with the Lord. Perhaps it's a grandson or granddaughter that you are burdened for. Some of you grandparents, I know you watch as the world has taken your grandchildren and given them so many things to be distracted by, so many things to become a priority to them, so many things to pull them away from feeling like God is important. And it's a generational thing as well as just the life in which we live. Perhaps it's one of you parents and your teenagers are a concern to you. Your teenagers are not in church with you, or maybe they are, but they're not walking with the Lord the way that you want them to. Maybe it's a child, and it's your parent. Maybe it's your parents that you wish would be. You're watching them get older, and you wonder why with most of their generation God is important to them. Why isn't it with my parent or my grandparent? Maybe it's your friend. Maybe it's your brother or sister. Maybe it's your adult age brother or sister. Maybe it's a friend who's like a brother or sister. Maybe it's a coworker that you've tried to talk to, and every time you try to bring the conversation to something of a spiritual nature or something involving God, there's a barrier there, and there's something that's off-putting to them, and they just sort of drift away from you. Maybe it's a loved one who's struggling with an addiction, and you know God could help them with that, but they don't know that. And you want so badly to convince them that God is what they need, that God is able to help them with that addiction and could give them victory over that. Maybe it's somebody that's suffering in a bad marriage, somebody you know, it's a loved one that you're watching their marriage deteriorate, and you think, and you know, if they would just put God in the center of their marriage, I know he could salvage that, but you're watching that fall apart, and it breaks your heart because you would like to have them seated here. You'd like to have them in a place where God could help them. Maybe it's a Christian friend of yours who became bitter over something. There's an awful lot of that in the world. There's an awful lot of Christians walking away from God, walking away from anything that even seems remotely like God. Maybe it's the one you worry about daily, the one you pray about daily, the one who's rejected you so many times. You've tried and you've tried and you've tried, but you just keep getting resistance from them. And maybe it's some of you fear what a loved one of yours is hiding. I know there are some of you fear what your children are hiding. You worry about what's really going on inside their minds and what kind of life they're choosing. And you're greatly burdened about that. So this chair represents the one who, for whatever reason, is just not interested in the gospel, not interested at least in the gospel as it's always been presented. And so today, I want to talk with you about the challenge facing the church in 2016. It's not the same as the challenge has been to the church in generations past. So what is that? Notice, please, I want you to understand this morning that the challenge that's facing the church is not the gospel. Notice John chapter number 12 and verse number 32. The Bible says very plainly, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Now, can I ask you a question? Has Jesus been lifted up? The Bible says he is signified by hanging on the cross. Was he hung on a cross, yes or no?
Yes.
Is he always right in what he says? If he says, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw how many men unto me? All men unto me." Then why aren't all men being drawn to him? Why have we been talking about the people that we want to be here? Why are we having a conversation about an empty chair? Somebody's supposed to be in this chair. And if Jesus said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me," well, there's a problem there. The problem's not with the message. It's not with the gospel. The problem is with the presentation of the gospel. Amen. See, the problem's not Jesus. Please understand. Let me just categorically say, if you want to post something, post this. The problem is never Jesus. Amen. It never will be. Jesus is the answer to all problems. The problem's never Jesus. The problem is the problem's not the gospel. It's a great message. Do you agree with me that it's a great message? Amen? Amen. It's a wonderful message. It's a message of hope. It's a message of love. It's a message of a promise of eternal life. The problem's not the gospel message. The problem's the presentation of the message. And so let me show you that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. The Apostle Paul has taught us, but we have not always heeded the teaching. Notice, please, in chapter number 9, look at verse number 20. Notice, please, the Apostle Paul writing, and he said this. He said, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews." Now, let's take a time out for just a minute. I'll finish the verse in just a moment. But he said, "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew." Time out. Paul was already a Jew, wasn't he? But he said, "But to the Jews I became as a Jew." Meaning that he's not always presenting himself as a Jew. He said, "When I'm with the Jews, I become as a Jew." In other words, why? "To them that are under, that I might gain the Jews." Let's continue the reading here. "To them that are under the law, as under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. That I might gain them that are without law." Verse 22. "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak." Do you see what he's saying here? Do you see the pattern here? He said, "I'm trying to be what I need to be for the people who need the gospel." But they're different. The Jews are not the same as the Gentiles. Now, are they the Bible? Now, wait a minute. You say, but doesn't the Bible say, but there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile? No, not in how they're saved. But there is a difference in whether or not they receive it. There's a difference in their thought process. There's a difference in whether or not we have the opportunity to even speak with them. And he said, so the challenge for you as a church is to be whatever people need you to be. Look at the last part of that. "I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some." Verse 23, "And this I do for the gospel's sake." Can we just let that ring in our ears for a minute? This I do for the gospel's sake. I'm going to talk with us this morning about the role of the church. I'm going to talk about the responsibility of the church today. Not everything that I say today may sit well with everybody. But I would ask you to remember that our goal is to do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Our job today as a church, and again, I know this is the first Sunday of a new year. The very first Sunday here of a brand new year. Oh, it's good to see the Nips with us. Hi, guys. Come right on in. I'm glad to see you. Watch. Our job is to take a never-changing gospel. Please get these words. Our job is to take a never-changing gospel to an ever-changing world. See, Paul said, I became a Jew to the Jews because they needed me to be that for the Jews. And so we're living today in an ever-changing world. We need to understand that, and we need to get out of the mentality, well, the gospel's the same, and it's always the same, and so we're going to need to do things all the same. No, Paul said, nope. To the Jews, I've got to be a certain way. To the Gentiles, I've got to be a certain way. To the weak, I've got to be a certain way. And that is the job of the church today, to take a never-changing gospel to an ever-changing world. As your pastor, I want to help and equip you to do just that. We've been talking about whose seat is this. Who is it that you want to be right here? Or right there? Or right there? Or right here? Who is it that you want? I want to talk to you about and help equip you. You see, I know there are some that would say, well, I was saved in an old-fashioned tent revival. Okay, please let me ask you a question. How many of those are there today? Have you been to one recently? Have you been recently to a two-week revival somewhere? I was talking with a couple of preachers the other day, and they said, well, you know, we just need to put on a revival like that, and we need to have that thing for 2 weeks because you really don't even get into it in 2 weeks. I'll be honest with you. I don't have time to do that. Do you? See, our world doesn't allow that. Our world has gotten us to the place where we need to take the words of the Apostle Paul and say, this I do for the gospel's sake. What was the verse he said right before that? I will be all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us now as a church to understand very clearly what our job is in this world. Father, help us to be light, and Lord, help us to be the light that is needed with the different groups of people in our world. Father, I pray that you'd open our hearts, give us a vision as a church today, give us a vision as the body of Christ, that we could be what Jesus was, the best we can. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The news is telling us today that Christianity is dying. Now, that is not true. Christianity is not dying, but it certainly is on the decline. Every year or every few years, there's a new study that comes out polling the people of America, and we're finding, if, again, don't believe everything you hear, but the statistics say that every year there are fewer and fewer Americans who believe in God, who believe in the Bible, who want anything to do with church. Now, with that being the case, there's a segment now of the community that's the segment of the population that's referred to as the nuns. Has anybody ever heard that? Not N-U-N, not Catholic nuns, N-O-N-E-S. Have you heard that? You've heard that, haven't you, Kip? Those are people who, when they're asked to describe their religious affiliation, the fastest growing group right now is something called the nuns. They check the box that says none. No religious affiliation. That means they don't consider themselves to be Christians. They're not Buddhists. They're not Taoists. They're not Muslims. They just say none. Our world has become very, very much indifferent to the gospel. Now, it's been 40 years since prayer left our schools. Did you realize that? Well, think about it. It's been 40 years. 40 years. A little over that. It doesn't seem like it for those of us who are of an age where we can remember that. Doesn't seem like it's been 40 years, but it has been. That's a pretty good bit of time. It's most forms of immorality that were around 40 years ago, 50 years ago, they carried a stigma with them. You know, there were certain forms of immorality that carried a stigma. That means, that's a word, if you're not familiar with that word, that's a word that means it was something you kind of were ashamed of. But most of those have gone from having a negative stigma to being tolerated, to being accepted, to now being promoted. Now, this is the world that our young people live in. Now, we live in it too, but this is the world that's being taught to them. So guess what? The world is changing. Society has changed. And Paul said, you've got to make sure that you remember when you're talking to different groups of people, depending on what their societal inclination is, you've got to make sure that you're addressing their needs. So treating our young people today the same way that we would treat an 80-year-old, it's not going to work. Now, some of you don't know where I'm going with this, do you? Or maybe you do. See, Paul said, the gospel doesn't change, but society does change. And if we're going to reach society, we have got to take a never-changing gospel to an ever-changing world. Now watch, here's the point I want to make about all this. All these things that have happened in the last 40, 50 years, that has been in spite of a pretty consistent message from the church. All those forms of immorality that I talked about, and I'm not going to get into any details, you know what I'm talking about. Pick any one of them. Those have come in spite of a very consistent message from the churches about the sinfulness of it. So if Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself, why isn't that happening? Where the consistent message has still been going out over those 40 years, and yet we have seen those being drawn to Christianity become fewer and fewer and fewer, especially in our younger generations. But it's not just our younger generations. You know, there are 60 and 70-year-olds leaving their faith. 50 and 50-year-olds. We've all heard about the midlife crisis. You know, we that's been joked about for all this time. There's actually a spiritual midlife crisis. There's a lot of 40 and 50-year-olds that reared their children in church, and now they don't go to church themselves. Now, why is that? And that's kind of where we're getting to. Again, the problem isn't the message. The problem is the presentation of it. Paul said in our text, notice verse 20 again. He said, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. Paul was already a Jew. We understand that. So what was he saying? He was saying the Jews have a certain mindset. The Gentiles have a certain mindset. The different groups of people, they have a different mindset. What do I mean by that? Well, the Jews, for example, they understood very clearly who a high priest was and what a sacrifice was. So when Paul came to them, okay, here's a little trivia question. To whom was the book of Hebrews written? What? The Hebrews? Yeah. Read the beginning of it. The book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews, or the Jews. You know what that book is about? That book is about Jesus as the high priest. Do you know what the writer of that book was trying to do? Was trying to portray Jesus not as a sacrificial lamb, not as as the storyteller, not as this the Sermon on the Mount kind of a savior, but rather as the high priest. The book is all about Jesus as the high priest. Do you know why? Because that's what the Jews needed to hear. For the Jews to step out of Judaism and into Christianity, they needed a message that they could understand and relate to, where Jesus made sense to them. And so Paul said, so to the Jews, I'm going to become as a Jew. I'm going to teach the Jews about Jesus being the high priest. Now wait a minute, within that same book of Hebrews, you know that there's a verse in there that says, and you can say it with me, ready? Jesus Christ the same today and forever. Wait a minute. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then why isn't he bringing all men to himself? Because not everybody needs the same message. Not everybody responds to the same. He said the Jews have a different need, have a different message. See and again, for decades within Christianity, there are groups of us, and I say groups of us because I used to lead the way in this. I said, well, there's one gospel, and there's one way to present the gospel. There's one kind of music you can listen to. There's one kind of Bible. There's one kind of way you can dress. There's one kind of, you know, there's one way you can live your life. And it's really, really narrow. Because after all, Bible says narrow is the gate. Wait a minute. The gate may be narrow through which somebody is saved, but living the Christian life is not that narrow. There are lots of ways to please God with your life, folks. There's a broad variety of ways that our musicians can serve the Lord. There's a great range of ways that our children can serve the Lord with their occupations. Look, you're looking at somebody who 15 years ago, Deborah, you tell me if I'm right or wrong. I said every young person who ever, if they want to do anything at all, if your life's ever going to amount to anything, you better be a preacher or a preacher's wife or a missionary, because that's the only thing that matters in this world. Am I right? Did I say that? You never got to hear that, did you, Megan? Because you were a heathen in the public school. Your parents didn't really love you. And she is a mess today. She sang for us just a little bit ago. Even though she went to the Philistine school. She's going to be a nurse. She loves God. She loves the Lord. And so do so many. See, the problem is not the gospel. The problem is the presentation of the gospel. And we find here some groups of people. Notice again in verse 20, the Jews. He said those were Jews that were still living under the Old Testament law. Paul said, if I'm going to reach those Jews who are still living like Jews, in other words, they're still living according to the Old Testament law, they're still trying to get forgiveness by making a sacrifice, by obeying all the laws, he said, I have got to take them something that they can understand. So I'll take them Jesus Christ as their great high priest who satisfied the law. He said, I can't take them the good shepherd. You know why? Jesus tried that. Hey, watch me. Was Jesus a good teacher, yes or no? You know, everybody should have said yes there. He tried the shepherd thing with them, didn't he? He said, hey, I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. You know how the Jews responded to that? That's how the Jews responded to that. Paul said, that's not going to work with them, but I will teach Jesus as the great high priest. Say, well, was he betraying the rest of the gospel then? No, he was giving them the gospel in the way they could understand it, in a way that would reach them. Because he said, by all means, I want to save some. Those under the law, those were Jews that were saved, but they're still trying to live under that law. And he said, I've got to teach them. I've got to help them too. Those that are without the law, those would be the Gentiles. He said, I'm going to be as one. He said, look, with the Gentiles, I'm going to be like a Gentile. He said, I'm not going to come to them with Jesus as the high priest. You know why? Because they didn't get that. You know, the Gentiles didn't understand anything. If you went to a Gentile back in those days and you said, hey, Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, they would say, why would he? Well, how does that make any sense? Why does somebody have to die? You see, they hadn't been brought up in the Jewish understanding that a sacrifice had to be made in order for forgiveness of sins. They didn't get that, so it wouldn't have made any sense at all to them. Watch, do you know we live in a world today that does not understand that either? Do you know if you walk out here and up and down this street, if you run into anybody under the age of 40, about half of them will not know who David and Goliath are. They don't know who Jonah was. They don't know who Noah was. The only thing they know about Noah is that stupid movie that came out from Hollywood a couple of years ago. And even a secular critic said, if you want Bible, watch the Lego movie. There's more Bible in the Lego movie than there was in that Noah. See, so they don't understand. They don't know all that. They don't have the background that some of you grew up with. We're trying to give the same message to people that don't have a foundation of Jesus Christ at all. They don't have a foundation of those Bible stories. They don't know anything about. The only thing they know about Adam and Eve is that it's a fable being told by Christians to counter evolution. I don't know how that gets linked together. See, they don't have that foundation. The church's job in 2016 is to do exactly what Paul said. Amen. Figure out who the Jews are and be a Jew to them. Amen. Figure out who those are under the law and be under the law to them. Figure out who the weak are. You know what the weak mean? The weak doesn't mean that they were. It just means they didn't have any background at all. That's what I was just talking about. It's the people who don't know the Bible stories. Amen. See, we have people that come in here and sit for month after month after month, and that's how long it takes for them to figure out this is what the gospel is. You know why? Because we don't bring them down to this altar and say, "Here you go, 1, 2, 3, pray after me." Right. Oh, okay. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I don't know what sins are, but... See, we use words like, okay, the Bible says that Jesus was a propitiation for our sins. Anybody know what that means? Pansy does. I kind of do. Don't ask me to define it. I had somebody who's been saved for 15 years in his 40s come up to me and he said, "Pastor, you keep using a word that I don't understand." I said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "Iniquity." Not a stupid guy, by any means. See, this is our world, and we've got to make sure that our message, if we're going to get Jesus to the world, it's going to have to be in a language that they understand. Paul said this same Jesus not only must be presented to the people differently, but they won't even all be saved. Notice he said, by all means, save some. But one thing is certain, that if we don't try to be all things to all men, then we're not going to see any of them saved. Amen. Now, you know that our church was very, very blessed. A church this size, in 2015, we saw 48 people come during these services and be saved. Half of those came after the service was over. Nearly all, amen, right? Nearly all of them came after being here many, many weeks and months. You know why? Because we don't pressure anybody. It takes some time sometimes for the gospel message to get into people, for them to understand and truly understand in order to be truly converted. Isn't that what we want? You know, we baptized 28 people. That's remarkable. It's remarkable. It's wonderful. God has been very, very good to us. But we need to continue to try to make the gospel something that everybody can understand. Now, notice, please, verse number 22. You say, "Well, okay, what is this? So what is this for us?" Look at verse number 22. Notice he said, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak." Notice he said, "I am made all things to all men." Would you notice that's passive tense? Paul didn't say, "I've made myself all things to all men." He said, "No, God has made me. God has taken me and he has changed me so that I can be all things to all men." You know what that means for all of us? That means God wants to broaden you. Amen. Well, he's doing a good job with me, isn't he? He wants to broaden you. It is very true that there are certain of us based on our backgrounds or our skills or whatever, that we have a unique opportunity to win certain people to the Lord. That's very true. You are uniquely gifted in some way to reach a certain segment of the population. But God said, "But that's not all I want you to do. I want you to become all things to all men." Amen. So please watch. That means that some of you older folks, God wants the gospel message coming out of you to be palatable to young folks also. Now you really don't like where this is going, do you? I believe that God wants Bill Ackley to rap the gospel. Just kidding. Just kidding. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am saying that some of us older people need to think about the kind of gospel presentation that needs to be given to the younger people. And well, I'm not going to say that. You know, grandparents, God wants you to have a gospel message for your grandchildren. But please understand, it's. Do you remember how Jesus dealt with the woman taken in adultery? Beat her up, didn't he? He said, now look, there's some things you don't know, and you need to sit down and let me teach you some things. No. No, he dealt pretty kindly with her. Can I encourage all you grandparents, deal kindly with your grandchildren. I'm talking about the older ones. Please remember, they are growing up in a world that's not like the world you grew up in. It'd be real easy to say, well, you know what, you know, when I was your age, no, you have no idea what it's like at their age. I have no idea. I learn it because I'm out in this world. But please understand, be very, very careful. Amen. Be very careful. I worry and I'm concerned about a barrier that gets formed between grandparents and their grandchildren. See why? But they need to be told this. Okay. Yes, they do. But they need to be told in a way they can understand. Young people today, they need to know why. Kip, you may have to come up here and sit with me. Listen, they need to know why. They're entitled to know why. Because it's no longer okay. You know, Jesus didn't tell people, none of your business, just do what I say. I don't remember him saying that. I don't remember him saying, well, you just need to take my word for it because I know what I'm talking about. He did know what he was talking about, by the way. But he didn't say that. They need to know why. There needs to be a presentation of the gospel that makes sense to them. See, well, I just... See, here's part of our problem. I know some of you don't want to... Okay, I got to say a couple more things here. That also means some of you young people need to be able to present a gospel to older people. You respect their traditions. Respect their traditions. You know, and I think our young people do. I think when we sing the hymns, I think our young people like, they enjoy it. They respect that. And we need to do that. Some of you loners, God wants you to become more social.
Amen.
Amen.
Kaylin.
See, God said, I want you to be all things to all men. He said, I need my people, I need my children to be all things to all men because you never know when you're going to have the opportunity to save some.
Amen. Right.
So learn to be, stretch yourself. Amen. God said, I want to stretch you. I want to push you out of your comfort zone just a little bit. God wants to, there's some of you, you don't have enough confidence in your ability to talk to people about the Bible. But you can do this. You can tell people what you know and how you were saved and just talk, you know, just talk. We don't need fancy words. So, see, part of our problem at church is that we all have the gospel, but we want to do it our way sometimes. We just want to do it our way. Can I show you Romans chapter 12, verse 1? Notice here's that summed up. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. You know what that means? That means there's an altar, and he said, I want you to present your body as a living sacrifice. You know what that means? That means God. It means exactly what Paul said. He said, God, I'm offering my body to you. I'm offering my mind to you. I'm offering my tongue to you. I'm offering my money to you. I'm offering my thoughts to you. I'm offering my service to you. Use it however you want, and use me however you want. Use me however you want to reach whomever you want. Can I ask you a question? Now, don't answer this, and don't raise your hand. Is there anybody that you would not share the gospel with? Think about it. Well, I'm not going to a Muslim. I'm not going to a homosexual. You know, the Bible says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers because they might be angels. Well, I'm not going to go to this group. I'm not going to go to this group. I'm not going to go to somebody whose skin's a different color. Is there somebody you would not share the gospel with? See, he said, no, I want you to be all things to all men. And sometimes we've got to change our attitudes a little bit in order to do that. Anyway, he said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what? Do you know why we have an invitation around here every service? We have an invitation. We call this an altar. Do you know who comes down to this altar most of the time? It's the really, really wicked people. It's the ones who've got so much junk in their lives that they've got to get it out. And I mean, every single week, they're coming down here and they're just pouring their hearts out because they're so sinful and wicked. Kip and Kyle lead the way every time. That's not what they're doing, folks. Now look, this is not a call for you to use this altar. Don't get me wrong, you use it if God leads you to. But here's what they're doing. They're coming down here to this altar and they're saying, God, I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice. God, whatever you need, whatever you want from me, change it. Change my thoughts, change my attitude. Whatever it is, God, you take over. Use me any way you want to. Isn't it funny how that seems to be the people God uses? And the others who do the same thing in your seat. See, God uses those who present themselves a living sacrifice. So what happens when we do that? Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Hold on. Here's where I lose some, let me just call them old-fashioned Christians. By the way, I'm an old-fashioned Christian too. But I call old-fashioned 2,000 years old. Not 60 years old.
Amen.
2,000 years old. Here's where we lose something. Because, hey, well, you know what? If you bring in this other kind of music and you bring in this other kind of stuff and you start talking like this and you start doing these kind of things and you don't dress the same way, it said you're bringing the world into the church. We are not bringing the world into the church. He said, be not conformed to this world. Do you know what the world's, okay, that's not world, by the way.
Right.
How we dress and what kind of music we listen to and how we act is not the world. Can I tell you what the world is? It's called selfishness.
Amen.
It's called self-centeredness. If there's anything that describes our world today, it's self-centeredness. In other words, I want what I want. We have public universities where students are telling teachers what they can teach. We have thugs and gangsters on the street telling police where they can come and how they can act. We have a problem with selfishness. But isn't it also selfish for a Christian to stand and say, well, I've got the only gospel there is, and there's the only right way to do it is the way I always did it? Isn't that also kind of self-centered? Well, the only music that's good is the kind of music that I like. No. No, it's not. I've learned to like a lot of kinds of music. I've learned that different churches have different strengths. You know, it used to be that if you didn't have all these things right in your church and you didn't do this thing just exactly the right way, it couldn't possibly be a good church. You know what? There are churches that are doing a great job out there, and they don't do everything the way we do it. In fact, nobody does things the way we do. And guess what? They're right too. They're right too. We're not the only ones doing it partially right. And by the way, we're only doing it partially right. We're trying, but we're only doing it partially right. So the parts that we're doing right, let's just keep doing that, and let's continue to work on the things we're not doing right. Let's not worry about the things that other churches aren't doing right, because guess what? We're not there, and I don't know. I met somebody this week. I was so impressed with the things that she was talking about. Clearly loved the Lord. Clearly serving God. And she began to share with me that she felt like she wasn't able to serve as much as she wanted to. I said, well, what is it that you want to do? She said, well, I feel like my spiritual gift is interpretive dance. Now look, that wouldn't be my thing. I know, some of you are going, you know what? There's not a bit of insincerity in her. I'm not going to judge her for that. If that's how God, doesn't the Bible say that David danced before the Lord?
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm not dancing.
Amen.
Unless you start acting like that, maybe I will. Amen, Keith, you join me? Nope. Nope, you're on your own, buddy. Now look, and all I'm saying is, you know there's a segment of our population that could be reached that way? There is. There is. I don't think we have any talent here to do that. Well, Rob, maybe. I don't know. Rob's pretty coordinated. Look, I got to wrap this up. My point is this, though. We're not bringing the world into our church because Paul said, you make sure that above all things, you try to be what the people you're talking to need you to be. We're not changing the gospel. We're changing the presentation of the gospel. And that may mean some different types of ways that look. Do you know that there's nothing wrong with a Saturday night church? There's nothing wrong with having musical instruments on a platform. There's nothing wrong with having there's nothing wrong with having a lady lead music. We did that today. See, and I love you for that. But if we're going to reach the world in 2016, we have got to figure out to whom we're talking about. This chair is empty, and you want somebody there. In the coming weeks, I'm going to talk to you about why people aren't sitting here. I promise you, I'm going to teach you as my church. 7 weeks it's going to take me. I'm going to teach you why that person you love so much is not in church. I'm going to teach you why this generation, and this comes from a lot of research. I've been planning this a long time. I'm going to teach you why people are indifferent to the gospel. I'm going to teach you why people are cold to the gospel. Why young people are, why old people are, why homosexuals are, why the different belief sets are. I'm going to teach you why that is and what we can do about it. So over the next 7 weeks, I'm going to talk to you about who the next Christians are and what we need to do in order to reach them. Because Paul said, you don't have a lot of time. See, the same Paul who wrote this to us, he also said, Jesus is coming back. And when he does, he's going to want to know from us, did you try to reach the people I put in front of you? Well, I reached them all that I could. I gave them all the gospel. Wait a minute. Did you give them the gospel in a way that they could get it? Did you give them the gospel in a way that made sense to them? Did you give them the gospel in a way that was palatable? Did you show Jesus' love to the world? Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that you'd help us as a church in the coming year.